Let's hear from the Lord as we continue through our study of the book of Mark. And so I want to call your attention to Mark 4, 1 through 9. And if you're not able to follow along in a Bible, the passage will show up on the screen behind me. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Again, he, that's Jesus, began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he, that's Jesus, said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. When he speaks the Word of God, because he is God. He is the radiance of your glory, Father. You are communicating to us in these last days through your Son. And so, if we have ears to hear, let us listen to what he has to say. And so, we learn this today about our Savior, that he's a Savior, he's a King, he's a Restorer, but he's also our Teacher. So help us to be positioned this morning to listen and learn from him. Holy Spirit, would you fill us this morning that we might be attentive to the words of Jesus, that we might rightly understand them, that we might have the strength to apply them and live them out for your glory, and that we might find ways in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our church abroad to share those words with others. Guide us now, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a question to ask you, and this question could seriously change your life forever. What character in Charlie Brown do you most identify with? Linus, Schroeder, Franklin, Pigpen, guys, Snoopy, Lucy, Peppermint Patty, Marcy, Charlie Brown. It's kind of hard to pick one you want to identify with because isn't it true that each one of them had some very obvious imperfection? Kind of a bit of a reality, right? You had Linus, who was always whining, carrying his blanket. You had Lucy, who was outspoken and arrogant. You had Peppermint Patty, who was just bossy and incredibly annoying. You had Pigpen, who always needed a bath. And you had Charlie Brown, and just things just never seemed to go right for him. Things never seemed to go right for him. And maybe you can identify with one of those characters. Maybe sympathetically or empathetically, you can identify with him. But you know what? I think the character I feel worst for in the Charlie Brown Peanuts comic strip is Mrs. Donovan, the teacher. Whenever Mrs. Donovan would speak, all you heard was, wah, 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 wah. And that was to illustrate that even though she was speaking, no one was really listening to what she had to say. And there were these very, very kind, yes, ma'am, wah, 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 yes, ma'am, wah, 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 wah. And you just never really, they never really understood or caught what she was saying. I think about the comic strip, I think about that scenario, I think about poor Mrs. Donovan. And I wonder, if we're guilty, if we're often guilty of treating God that way, God is speaking, but we're not always really paying attention to what he has to say. In our text this morning, Jesus is being presented as the great teacher, the perfect prophet, the one who clearly, accurately, authoritatively, powerfully communicates the truth of God because he is God. And what's going to come out in this next section of Mark, primarily chapter 4, is that Jesus has a lot to say. And we better listen to what he has to say. Since Jesus is the perfect teacher, and disciples are by definition perpetual learners, then one of the most fundamental elements of discipleship is regularly listening and learning from what our master teacher has to say. The Christian life should involve a daily rhythm of listening to the word of Christ, to seeking to understand the word of Christ, to properly applying the word of Christ, and graciously sharing the word of Christ. One of the questions I think we're being driven to answer as we get into this section here, in fact, this whole section in Mark chapter 4, is, are we positioning ourselves regularly to listen and learn from Jesus? Is listening and learning to Jesus part of the daily rhythm of your life? Do you consider listening to Jesus as an essential component of your commitment to be a disciple? In Mark chapter 4, we're getting a window now into Jesus' mission as a teacher. Here is Jesus presented as the perfect prophet who speaks perfectly on behalf of God, because he's not just sent by God, he is God. He is a teacher bringing us doctrine. Jesus was into doctrine, and so should we. Jesus was not just a miracle worker doing merciful deeds. He was also a prophet proclaiming authoritative words. Up until this point, Mark has been telling us about what Jesus is doing. Now, in chapter 4, we get our first extended section of what Jesus is saying. And the first thing Jesus teaches us is about the vital importance of listening up. Listen. If you have ears, listen to what I have to say. So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, or you are considering becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, realize this: Jesus is calling us to a lifelong commitment of listening, learning, and living under the authority of his word. And what we find is that living under the authority of the word of Christ is what brings us into the experience of the good life, meaning the life that God intended for us to experience in relationship with him and his people for now and all eternity. Living under the authority of the word of Christ is what brings us into the good life, the stable life. We're staying in Mark primarily this morning, but Jesus gives lots of teaching throughout the Gospels about the essential importance of building our lives on what he says. Both in Matthew and in Luke, Jesus says, if you listen to what I say and you build your life on those things, then you're like a wise person who's preparing to live their life on a stable rock. And when the winds come and the waves come crashing and life starts going all cattywampus, there's a vocab word for you this morning, life starts going crazy, then you can stand, because you're standing on Jesus and he's firm. But if you don't build your life on Jesus, if you don't build your life on his teaching, on his word, then when all the stuff starts happening in life, you're going to find that you start sinking and falling. So there's nothing more essential for us as disciples of Jesus, or professing disciples of Jesus, or whether or not we're exploring to become a disciple of Jesus, there's nothing more essential than understanding this: our lives must be built on his authoritative word. And where that begins, very simply, is listening. Listening to his words. For all who claim to be a follower of Jesus, here's what our motto should be: when Jesus speaks, I listen. And that's the lesson I want to draw out from this text this morning. Jesus has many things to teach us, and so we better listen to what he has to say. So let's look at this in two parts. First, Jesus speaks. Second, disciples listen. That's the relationship. Our relationship to Jesus as teacher goes like this. Jesus speaks. We listen. And we're not actually even going to get into the story this morning, the parable. And I'm going to explain what those are in a few moments. But this morning, I just thought an introduction to this section of Mark that's expounding the teaching ministry of Jesus in a capsulized form. To just start this section, I think we just need to back up and say, okay, before we start looking at the teaching that he's giving in this chapter, let's just first step back and say, am I committed to listening to what he has to say? Do I believe there's value and essential importance in what he has to say, in his doctrine, in his teaching? So first, let's consider from verses 1 and 2, Jesus speaks. Let me invite your attention back to the text. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen. Mark sets up the scene here by getting us to imagine Jesus turning a boat into a floating pulpit. That'd be a cool effect up here, right? A floating pulpit. Jesus is in the boat, and there's a great crowd on the land. This is the congregation. And Jesus begins to teach them many things. Mark says he's teaching them many things. I want us to park on that in just a few moments. But keep that in your mind. Jesus is not just saying a few things. Jesus is teaching them many things. He's got a lot to teach them. We know that Jesus' essential teaching or doctrine was captured for us back in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. If you've been with us throughout this series through Mark, you'll remember what Jesus said back there. He said, here's what Jesus came preaching. And he said this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That was the essential message of Jesus, that it's good news that the kingdom of God is near because the king is here. Jesus has been sent by the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit to rescue, rule, and restore all who will turn from their sins, that's repentance, and trust in him, that's faith. That's Jesus' essential message. Everywhere he's going, he's saying this, the wait is over. The kingdom of God is near because the king is here. And I've been sent by the Father in the power of the Spirit to rescue, rule, and restore all who will turn from their sins and trust in me. That was the essential message of Jesus. And shorthand for that message was gospel. That's good news. Is it not good news this morning that the Father sent Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to rescue, rule, and restore sinners like you and me? It's good. Yeah, thank you. It's very good news. Yes, very good. It's very good news that he lived the life we could not live. He died the death we deserve to die. He was raised from the dead to give us a guarantee of eternal life and a transformed life. That is good news. Excellent news. The best news. It's gospel. So this is the essential message of Jesus. Everywhere he's going, this is what he's preaching. This is his doctrine. Now what Mark is doing is he's pointing out that Jesus had a favorite way of communicating that doctrine. He had a preferred teaching style. He taught the crowds using parables. Parables were Jesus' preferred form of teaching. The word parable literally means to set one thing beside another. Parables are word pictures that draw a parallel between two things by showing an analogy. This is like that. That's a parable. Most parables would be introduced with a preface going something like this. The kingdom of God is like. And then Jesus would use illustrations from everyday life, from fishing, farming, housekeeping, government, family life, weddings, parties. And he would do this to explain various aspects of this good news, this gospel. In verse 2, Mark says that Jesus used these parables to teach many things. In general, this means that Jesus had a lot to teach those who were following him. For us, it means that Jesus has a lot of things to teach us. Jesus has many things to teach us. Let's never forget that to be a disciple of Jesus is to be a perpetual learner. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 20 minutes now, for 20 months, or for 20 years. We all have so much to learn from Jesus. He has many things to teach us. Let's think of a few categories this morning. Jesus has many things to teach us about God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are infinite in their greatness. Therefore, our pursuit of learning about the greatness of the triune God is inexhaustible. We will never run out of things to learn about God because God is infinite. Huh? It's amazing. Infinite in his love, infinite in his grace, infinite in his purity, infinite in his wisdom, infinite in all aspects of his character. There's so much to learn. It will take all eternity to plumb the depths of the greatness of God. And we're just going to get started now in this life. Jesus has many things to teach us about the greatness of God. Many things for us to learn about the Father who loves us and sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. There are many things to learn about the Holy Spirit who regenerates, illuminates, and empowers. There's so much to learn about Jesus, who is the radiance of the Father's glory, sent by the Father in the power of the Spirit to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we deserve to die, and to be raised from the dead to change our lives and to give us eternal life. There's so much to learn about Jesus as our ruler. There's so much to learn about Jesus as our rescuer. There's so much to learn about Jesus as our restorer. I think you get the point. There's a lot to learn about God. And Jesus wants to teach us many things about God. Here's another category. Jesus has many things to teach us about us. There's much to learn about what it means to be made in the image of God. That is, that we were made by God in the image of God to show off God, to display God, to reflect his infinite greatness through our finite lives. There's much to learn about what it means for that image in us to be broken on account of sin and the horrible consequences of this reality, most notably in connection with the teaching of Jesus, that we often, because of our brokenness, exchange the truth of God for a lie. Just like in the very beginning, God teaching truth to Adam and Eve. Here's what's true. Here comes Satan. Doubt what's true. Let me give you a lie. Oh, that sounds great. That's us. We're broken. We have a hard time discerning truth from error. And error seems so attractive to us, even though the truth says that we were made to know God, love God, worship, serve, obey God continuously. We exchange that truth. We exchange the Creator for created things. And we make our own lowercase gods. And we love them. And we serve them. And we obey them to our destruction. So Jesus has a lot to teach us about our dignity as image bearers and our depravity as idolatrous sinners. Jesus has much to teach us about who we are. And because of this, Jesus has, here's another category, Jesus has much to teach us about how desperately we need him. We need Jesus. You need Jesus. If we come together and if every sermon could be titled the same thing, it would say this: we need Jesus. This is why the Father sent him, to live and die and be raised. And he has so much to teach us about the implications of how his life, his death, and his resurrection meet us where our greatest needs lie. He has so much to teach us about what it means to trust him for full forgiveness, total deliverance, and gracious acceptance. An acceptance that's not based on what we do, but an acceptance that's based on what Christ has done in our place. Jesus has many things to teach us about how this forgiveness, deliverance, and acceptance leads to a lifestyle that should be characterized by grateful worship, joyful obedience, and sacrificial mission. There's so much to learn about how Jesus meets our need and then launches us in a lifestyle that's reflecting gratitude for him meeting that need. Beyond these essential things, Jesus has many things to teach us about the stuff of life. Jesus has many things to teach us about relationships. How do you know how to pursue good friendships, marriage, parent-child relationships? How do you treat strangers? How do you deal with your enemies? How do you respond to government? How do employer-employee relationships work? Jesus teaches us. Jesus has many things to teach us about money and possessions, spending it, saving it, giving it, stewarding it, not loving it. Jesus has many things to teach us about that. Jesus has many things to teach us about morality, how we should talk and not talk, how we should act and not act, sexuality, how we should partake and enjoy or not enjoy or partake in popular culture. Jesus has many things to teach us about morality. Jesus has many things to teach us about enduring suffering. Pain, sorrow, loss, injury, and death are all part of every single one of our experiences. How do we deal with that? Jesus teaches us. Here's the point. We have a lot to learn from Jesus. And the good news is, he's speaking. He's talking. Jesus speaks. And you might say, well, how can Jesus teach us if he's not here with us the same way he was with the crowd in Mark chapter 4? He's not on earth with us right now. How can we say Jesus is teaching us? He's speaking right now. That's a great question. Even though Jesus is not with us now in the same way he was with the crowds then, he's still speaking to us today. How does he do this? Jesus speaks to us today by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. And not just parts of the Bible. Not just the four Gospels. All of the Bible. The whole Bible, from cover to cover, is essentially the Word of God about Jesus. Jesus himself taught that the whole Bible was ultimately about him in Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Do you hear that? Jesus saying that all the scriptures teach something about him. So if you're just starting to follow Jesus and you're thinking, wow, the Bible's a pretty big book. What's it all about? What's it all about? Since I've been here, you've been going through Mark. I think Mark's the only book in the Bible, okay? I'm sorry. It's not the case, though. Mark's a great book of the Bible. It's where we are now. But there are 66 books in the book, the Bible. So it's a big book. What's it all about? Here's my crack. This is always dangerous. Here's my crack at a one-sentence answer to what the Bible's all about. You say, you fool? Yeah, maybe. Here's the overall message of the Bible in a sentence. God is making and fulfilling gracious promises to send Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to rescue, rule, and restore unworthy sinners for his glory. God is making and fulfilling gracious promises to send Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to rescue, rule, and restore unworthy sinners for his glory. That is the storyline of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. In some significant way, each book of the Bible contributes towards this amazing redemptive message. And Jesus is teaching. He's our teacher. He's the perfect prophet. He's not only the content of the message, he's the communicator of the message. And we got a lot to learn from him, don't we? He has many things to teach us. And he speaks to us. He teaches us by the Holy Spirit through the entire Bible. So, Jesus speaks. We got that, right? Jesus is speaking. Jesus is teaching. Now, how do we respond to his teaching? Essentially, what's our first base response to the reality that Jesus is speaking? We listen. Disciples listen. This comes out in verse 3. In verse 3, Jesus says, listen. You might notice there an exclamation point. There wasn't an exclamation point in the original language there, but the mood of this verb is such that it is an imperative command. So Jesus is literally commanding us emphatically, you must listen to me. The urgency to listen to Jesus is accented again in verse 9, where he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You think, if anybody said that but God, it'd be very arrogant, right? Imagine I come to you after church today and say, hey, listen, you got an ear, you better listen to me. You say, buddy, I'd tell you where to go. Yeah, you might. You might. But here's Jesus. He's God. He's saying, listen, you got ears? Touch them. You got ears? Here's what you do with them. Here's why I gave them to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you have ears, part of the reason why they're there is not just so your glasses can sit on your head if you wear them, Not so you can have your wife trim them if hair's coming out of them. They're there to listen. I see some wives talking to their husbands. Yeah, he's talking about you. That's awesome. I'm not going to point anybody out, not say any names. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'm tempted. Not going to do it. Why are they there? God formed your body, right? He made you. Psalm 139 is a beautiful testimony of that, poetically speaking. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are God's work. He's formed our outward parts, our inward parts. He gave those ears and their ability to hear so that you and I would listen to his voice. Later on in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, we'll get there in a couple years. The Father shows up at a very climactic event in the mission of Jesus called the Transfiguration. Don't get too whacked out by that word if it's new for you. We'll explain it later. But here's what happens there at this event. It's Peter, James, and John, three of the 12 disciples, are getting a sneak peek at Jesus in his majestic glory, what he'll look like when he's in heaven. Transfiguration. It's there that Peter, James, and John hear the Father make an affirmative statement about who Jesus is and what their response to him should be. And the Father says in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to him. Why do we listen to Jesus? Well, let me give you four reasons. We listen because we have to. Both Jesus and the Father command us to listen. It's a matter of obedience. We were made to listen and respond to the voice of God. So we listen to him because we have to. It's a matter of obedience. Jesus is our King. He rules over us through his authoritative word. We listen to him because we have to, but we also listen to him because we need to. We can't live without his words. They are life to us. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do this? Hebrews tells us that he created all things by the word of his power. God speaks, there's life. We're also told in that very same epistle, Hebrews, that he sustains all things by the word of his power. Things are made by the word of God. Things continue to exist by the word of God. We owe our existence this morning and are remaining intact, literally, to God speaking us into existence and keeping us in existence. But it goes beyond that. John 6:63, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The words of Jesus are like spiritual breaths of fresh air, imparting life. When the crowds were rejecting Jesus and Jesus looked to his 12 and said, "Are you going to leave me too?" Peter said, "Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life." We listen because we have to. We listen because we need to. But we also listen because we get to. Next week, as we look at verses 9 through 13, we're going to realize that there was a time where we could not hear his voice. But something amazing happened. The Holy Spirit came and brought life to our dead hearts. And now our deaf ears are hearing ears. We get to hear from God. We have the privilege of hearing his voice. Hearing, spiritual hearing, is a gift from God. We should steward it and treasure it and listen up. We listen because we have to. We listen because we need to. We listen because we get to. And we should listen because we want to. See, Jesus does not want to vex us with his words. He wants to free us with his words. He's a redeemer. He wants to free us with his words. And he wants to fill our hearts with God-magnifying, soul-satisfying joy. Jesus speaks to us and he speaks to impart the joy of God into our lives. How do you know that? John 15:11, Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus speaks. Disciples listen. Why? Because we have to. We're commanded. Because we need to. We can't live without his words. We listen because we get to. What a privilege to hear from God. And we listen because we should want to. Abundant joy. The good life, the way God intended it. Not a carefree life, but the best it can be with suffering in a broken world this side of heaven. Living under the authority of the words of Jesus. I want you to think about something. Why do we listen? Why do we listen to the people we listen to? In part, it's because we value what they have to say about certain topics, right? Why do I tune in and listen to 97.5 FM in the afternoons while I'm driving? Because I value what Mike Missanelli has to say about Philly sports. And I'm a convert. I used to be a 6'10 Howard Eskin guy. That nitwit no more. Those of you who listen to that, he calls everybody a nitwit. So, why do I tune in and listen to Fox 29 News when there's rumor of a storm? Because I value what John Belaris and Sue Serio have to say about the weather. In fact, I get a text from them every morning. I'm tight with them. Just got one from Sue this morning, one from John yesterday. I'm not joking. But the whole world can too. Why did millions of Americans tune in and listen to the State of the Union address a couple weeks ago? Because people value what the president has to say about the condition of our country. We listen to the people we listen to because we value what they have to say about certain topics. Sports, weather, politics. It's the same way with Jesus. We should listen to him because we value what he has to say. And what topic? What topics should we value? Everything. We should value what Jesus says about everything. And he speaks into everything. I don't have this verse for you on the screen. I meant to. 2 Peter 1:3. God's divine power has given to us everything we need for life. Everything we need. Say that with me. Everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. The him in context is Jesus. Go check it out. When we listen to Jesus and we learn more about Jesus, Peter says we get everything we need for life and godliness through him. There's nobody more fit to talk about everything in life than the one who has given us life. So ask yourself this question by way of application. Do you view Jesus as the expert on life? Do you view God as the expert on life? Do you view Jesus and his authoritative voice as the authoritative voice on all matters of life? You might ask, how do I know if I view Jesus this way? Well, are you tuning in and listening to what he has to say? Let me illustrate again. How do you know that someone values Mikey Miss's voice on sports? Or John Belaris on weather? Or Barack Obama on politics? Isn't it seen in whether or not you tune in and listen? You can say you value their voices on those respective topics, but if you don't listen to what they have to say, your profession of valuing their voice is a false profession. You can't say you value their voice if you're not tuning in and listening to what they have to say. And the way you know you value what they have to say is if you intentionally tune in and listen. I would dare say it's the same way with Jesus. You know you value what Jesus has to say about life by whether or not you are intentionally tuning in and listening to what he has to say about life. You can't say you value his voice if you're not tuning in and listening to what he has to say. So here's another question of application here. Are you intentionally tuning in and listening to what Jesus has to say? The many things he has to teach about God. The many things he has to teach about us. The many things he has to teach about our desperate need of him. And the many things he has to teach about the stuff of life, period. is listening to him an essential part of your life? Let's kind of break it down one more level. Is listening to him an essential part of your day? I commend you to a certain degree being here together on a Sunday to submit to the teaching of the word of Christ is an evidence that you value the voice of Jesus. But does it go beyond a Sunday gathering? If not, then why not? Here's some things to think about. Is it because you don't value what he has to say? Is it because you are proud and you think you can manage your own life by listening to yourself? Is it because you're lazy? Is it because you're new to following Jesus and you just don't know how and you want someone to teach you? That's good. That's a good reason. There are multiple reasons why you may not be tuning in and listening to Jesus, but here is one thing that is for sure. If you are not tuning in and listening to what Jesus has to say about life, you are listening to someone else about what they say about life, and even if it's just the voices in your head. We have a perpetual antenna up. We're always listening, but the question is, are we listening to the right voices? Who we listen to informs our thoughts and opinions about things as trivial as sports and things as significant as who we worship, our purpose in life, how we behave in our various relationships. Who we listen to in order to make sense out of life ultimately determines how we are in life. Because isn't this true? We become like the people we listen to. Jesus said this, a disciple becomes like their teacher. So ask yourself this question. Since our lives are a reflection of who we listen to the most, who does your life reflect you're listening to the most? And this isn't meant as a shot at any person I'm about to list, but think about this. Does your life reflect Jesus the most, or does your life reflect Dr. Phil, Glenn Beck, Ken Oberman, Howard Eskin, Oprah, Tom Clancy, Hollywood scriptwriters, or Jesus, and those who teach his doctrine? It's not that we cannot benefit from other teachers and voices, secular and spiritual, but if we're not listening to Jesus as our primary teacher, we have no discernment to know whether or not our other teachers that we listen to are giving us truth or error. Jesus provides the grid through which we evaluate every other teacher. We as your pastors have a very, very frightening responsibility to stand before you here regularly and teach the word of God. And if we aren't teaching what Jesus taught, you better call us out. What did Paul say? The Apostle Paul, teacher of doctrine, gave us probably 13 books of the New Testament as the Holy Spirit led him to pen them down. What did he say? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's even important in the preaching and teaching here at Grace Bible Church. We're going to teach the truth from the Word of God, and we're going to give suggested applications. We want to help you kind of work it out, but our applications aren't authoritative. Jesus' teaching is authoritative. We got to get that right. Jesus must be our primary teacher. Therefore, the Bible must be our primary textbook. And then as we listen to Jesus and those who are teaching us what Jesus taught, our lives become more like Jesus. And that's part of the goal of discipleship, that we become like our teacher. We become like Jesus. So we become like Jesus by listening to the teaching of Jesus. Because a disciple becomes like his teacher. This is why Jesus is saying so emphatically in this text. And he says in other places in Scripture, listen to me. If you have ears to hear, listen to me. Tim Keller, in his comments on the Gospel of Mark, made the following statement. This is just obvious. Tim Keller is a great teacher, but this is like a Captain Obvious statement. Nothing is more important in the Christian life than listening to and understanding the Word of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing is more important in the Christian life than listening to and understanding the Word of God. And if this is true, and I believe it is, if nothing is more important in the Christian life than listening to and properly understanding the Word of God, then intentionally tuning in and receiving its teaching must be our highest priority. It's more important than the local news. It's more important than the scoreboard. It's more important than the Super Bowl tonight. It is. Reminding myself. It's more important than CSI, Survivor Antarctica. It's more important than reruns of Seinfeld. It's more important than Uncle Moomoo's Facebook status. It's more important than Twitter and so-and-so's blog. I think you get the point. There's no information that's more important than the information God has preserved for us in the Word of God. And if nothing is more important in the Christian life than listening to and understanding the teaching of Jesus, the perfect prophet, then intentionally tuning in and receiving its teaching must be our highest priority. Right? So in conclusion, three practical ways to intentionally tune in and listen to the teaching of Jesus. Number one, this is very novel. Read the Bible. That was bad sarcasm. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it. At some point in your day, and listen to what God has to say to you. If you don't have a Bible, I will give you a Bible. We will give you a Bible. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, we want you to have a Bible. I'll give you this one, and we have more to give you. We want you to listen. We need to listen to God's voice. There's nothing more essential to being a disciple than listening to the voice of our Master. Read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. If you have one, read it. If you need help to know where to read, what to read, talk to somebody in your care group. If you're not in a care group, talk to one of us pastors up here afterwards. We'll direct you. We'll try to get you connected. If you're going to stay connected here at Grace and be a part of this believing community, I would encourage you to read the book of Mark to start. That'll kind of get you caught up with where we are here in our series. But then we'll point you to other places. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Second practical advice here for intentionally tuning in and listening to the teaching of Jesus. Expose yourself to Bible teaching. We do this by listening to preaching that are based on texts of Scripture. We do this by reading books that instruct us in the teaching of Scripture. We can do this by listening to Scripture-saturated music. Expose yourself to the Bible teaching, to the Bible's teaching. In our technological age, there's so much that's available to us. So much good, free Bible teaching that we can get exposed to, even beyond the walls of our local church. That was unheard of years and years and years ago. If you need recommendations of other preachers to listen to, beyond the ones you can download from our church here, I'd be glad to recommend those to you. So read the Bible. Expose yourself to Bible teaching. Listen to preaching. Read good Christian books based on teaching of Scripture. Listen to Scripture-saturated music. And then a third recommendation here, engage in Christian fellowship. The Christian community, to a certain extent, should be a free exchange of the Word of God. Here's how God's changing me by His Word. Let me share that with you. How's God changing you by His Word? Can you share that with me? We did, if you want some messages to listen to, last summer we did a mini series. Rob and I taught this. It was called Read, respond, recycle. And that's kind of like our relationship to the Word of God. I read it, I respond to it, and then I recycle it into the lives of others. I'd encourage you to listen to that if you need something to listen to. You can get that on the website. I just want to serve you. Engage in Christian fellowship. Ask your brothers and sisters, offer to your brothers and sisters what God's up to in your life through His Word. Going back to that quote, nothing is more important in the Christian life than listening to and understanding the Word of God. That's why Jesus says to us, as our teacher, listen to me. If you have ears to hear, listen to what I have to say. How kind of God to speak to us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to live the life we could not live, to die the death on the cross that we deserve to die, to be raised from the dead, to give a guarantee of a transformed life and eternal life. And thank you that by turning from our sins and trusting in His life, death, and resurrection, we have full forgiveness, total deliverance, and gracious acceptance with you. And part of our acceptance with you is that you listen to us. You listen to us, Lord. You hear our cries. You hear our prayers. You listen to us. Thank you, Lord. But you also want us to listen to you. And so thank you for giving us ears to hear what you're saying to the world, to the church. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what you want us to do with our lives, because you've told us. You've preserved it for us in the Bible. Thank you for giving us ears to hear your teaching in the Bible and hearts to understand. And so would you help us together this morning as a collective family of believers to live our lives under the authoritative rule of your Word. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for meeting with us this morning. We're eager to go from this place now and live our lives by your grace, through the power of your Spirit, in submission to your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.